more stripped down than we're used to, but it's kind of been a long week with that little boy. So if you would join me, feel free to sit, feel free to stand, however you want to worship, just connect with God this morning with me, and let's exalt him together.
Gathered. Well, good morning, everyone. Roxanne has a mission moment this morning, so I'm tracking her down. Got a little bit of battery life left on there yet. But.
Thank you. Well, I want to tell you that missionaries are so appreciative of the prayers that you send up for them, and they continue to ask for your prayers for their strength and for their safety. So I'd ask you to continue to do that. This rest of this month, we're still collecting for the pregnancy decisions. And if you have coins, spare change, you can fill a baby bottle. Pastor's getting one now. And thank you. And pregnancy decision is here on the hilltop, actually. It's on West Broad Street down by Wilson Road. And they serve the women in the community, young women who are pregnant and thinking about the possibility of abortion. And they do everything they can to help the women, as well as trying to consider the importance of that life and bringing it to birth, so that we'll have more people in this planet that will know Jesus. And that's pretty much all that we have going on right now. But our meetings, we've moved them to Wednesday at 1 o'clock. It's the second Wednesday of the month. And we'd love to have you join us if you're interested. The meetings last usually around 45 minutes. And we're giving daytime meetings a try this time.
Well, we've had a little bit of rain this week, haven't we? Sometimes we get rain in our lives, don't we? We are sad and we cry and things happen, but it helps us to grow sometimes, doesn't it? It strengthens our faith when we're tested. I was tested this week, actually, with my van, the one she's driving this morning, trying to get the front discs off. And I smacked it with a hammer all over the place. It wouldn't come off, and I had to get a bigger hammer. That was the thing. I had to use a sledgehammer, actually, to get those off. So I put new ones on. And sometimes I think the Lord uses a sledgehammer on us. We try to use the small little things in our lives. But sometimes it takes a big event before we realize, you know, we're human, we're mortal, we're not God. And now we need to depend on him. So I think sometimes, you know, he needs to hit us in the head a little bit and say, you need me. And we're talking this morning about our time being short. We don't know how long that time's going to be, how long we're here. So make every day the best day it can be. You know, don't hold grudges. Don't be mad at people. Don't, you know, break your fist at these people driving down the road and things like that. It's so easy to happen because, you know, we're dumb. People aren't smart all the time. They do dumb things, selfish things. And other people get upset, and they should. But, you know, we need to think sometimes, what if I was in their shoes? What, maybe they're going to an emergency. Maybe they're, you know, there's a tragedy they're trying to get to. And I got to keep myself in that perspective a lot of times. If I don't, my wife will. Say, don't get all so upset. They're just, you know, whatever. That could be you. And I'm like, no, it couldn't. I wouldn't do that. And I have found myself doing some of those things sometimes. And I think, yeah, that was me, you know, last week. So just, I guess the thing this morning is just give grace to people. You know, we're all trying to survive. We're all trying to live. You know, things are getting bad as far as the economy and government and wars and all these things that are happening. But you can't focus on the bad things. Focus on what you can do. Yeah. You know, pray for people. Be a good witness to people. Smile if you can, even if you don't feel like it. And may it bring joy to somebody else's life that needs it. So, but God is the answer. My friend who was a missionary for New Tribes Missions, named Chuck, who's 84, I think, this year, he'd always say, yep, prayer's the answer. God's the answer. Whatever the problem was, he'd say, yep, we just need to pray. He said, God's the answer. I think that's true, isn't it? God's the answer. And that's not in your doctor necessarily. It's not in the medication. It's not in the three steps or whatever it is. Those can help. But ultimately, God is going to be the answer. And we want healing for people, don't we? But that healing may take place in heaven. And maybe they're here as a witness as they go through things and the way they go through things to show people that faith is real, that God is real. He does do things, even if it isn't always in our time. So praying for Fran this morning. I got to visit her a little bit the other day. She was in a lot of pain still. She was sitting in a chair when I was there. And the surgery was 6 hours, so Hopefully she's doing a little bit better now today, Larry, than she was when I saw her the other day, but she was just kind of there quietly in a little bit of pain. We talked a little bit, so I don't know if you got a chance to see her again. See her yesterday?
Actually, she's doing worse. Yesterday they had to put some kind of a tube down her nose, down through her stomach, to try to clear out some of the infection, I assume. I was at a funeral in Kentucky yesterday, so I didn't get to see her. But I had my stepdaughter and stepson who were there with her while they were, although they had to leave the room while they put the tube down her, because she was fighting them, trying to pull it back out. She's in a lot of pain yet, but she does like to have visitors. You won't, I don't think you'll always be recognized. She goes in and out, but if the prayers, we need lots and lots of prayer. I know people are praying. I've had people from Kentucky to Upper Michigan, friends of mine. Everyone says they're praying for her, and we know God works in mysterious ways, so we just pray that he will heal her and she'll get to come home. Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to just stop eating for a few minutes. I wasn't there too long, but just a few minutes. Say hi, tell her you're praying for her. That's a big uplift. I know when you're in the hospital, it's pretty boring in there. I haven't been there very much, thank the Lord, but I know people I've visited before, you know, you're just staring at the walls, and you need some kind of people to, just to come and give encouragement, so.
Michelle requested prayer for Jared when she was here, and I asked Kawara to pray for Jared. He had his infusion Wednesday. And she called me, and she says, Jared's happy. I said, how's he doing? She says, I'll call you when I talk to him. She called me when she was going up to him. She says, tell Jesse that his Crohn levels was where it was supposed to be, lower than he's ever been, and his Lambicade was up where it was supposed to be. And she says, I know God worked a miracle. And she says, he called her, and he says, I feel so good. Usually he's so tired when he leaves. But he says, she said, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing fine. I said, I feel great. But going to church last Sunday, a deer came out and hit his Ivy's car and tore his car all up. So he had a Dodge Charger. And he says, I didn't go too fast, did it, coming home? He said, I did have to pass one person, he said. But anyway, Lexi goes in tomorrow for her scoping. And about 3 o'clock, so I appreciate if you pray for her. And also, a man that opened her doors in her office where she works down to Circleville didn't show up for work, and he didn't go home, and they found him murdered. And they haven't found his car or who murdered him yet. And he was like 40-some years old. And she couldn't go to work Monday because he didn't have the keys to unlock the building. And they found him in a barn in Fayette County somewhere. We don't know what happened, but his wife, they don't know. As far as I still know, they don't know how he got murdered, who murdered him, but they can't find his car. And so they was all shook up Monday. Lexi said he was a nice guy, and, you know, he worked there. And they were always very disturbed to have somebody that close to him that got murdered over the weekend. So they all need prayer down at Circleville, Christian College and stuff. But thanks for praying for Jared.
Just a quick prayer request. I have a sister named Cindy, and Cindy has twins, Charlotte and Henry, and they're 3.5 years old. Charlotte has had some sort of a lymph node or lymph gland, I'm not sure what, that has some sort of irregular something, and when they did an ultrasound, they said it didn't look good, so she's been very sick, and so they're going to go in and have surgery on Thursday they're going to remove that, and then they'll biopsy it. So she's, obviously very, very concerned, so just pray against, cancer, pray, whatever it is, it's gone, and just for complete healing for Charlotte, my 3.5-year-old niece.
My family lived on booze, and my uncle used to say to me, be sure you're right and go ahead. Well, as a kid, I didn't understand that, but through the years, I popped up quite a few times. I want to say something this morning about our Sunday school class. We've been studying the 20th chapter in Revelation. We've finished today. What I want to say is, so many of us, we don't understand some of the things in Revelation, but it's like salvation. All we have to do is just say, God, I made a mistake. Forgive me. And go from there. And that's the same way I feel about Revelations. I don't understand it, all of it, probably any of it, but it's like salvation, accepted by faith. I want to leave you with a little thought. Be sure you're right and go ahead.
Okay, we've been talking about moving for years. Movers are coming tomorrow. I've told people that there's only two things in Columbus that I'm really going to miss. One of them is Ding Ho's restaurant.
Amen.
Some of you know that one. And the other is going to be you folks. We've been in church with you for a long time. We love you. We thank you for your prayers. Your all's prayers are what got me through 2 years ago when I was in the hospital. Thank you.
We had the opportunity to have all four of our kids home last weekend, which doesn't happen very often, all at the same time. And one had his girlfriend and the other, Ben has his wife. And so we had a full table and a full house, and it was fun. We gave them all a bag and said, go down the basement and take it. And every time you come, you're going to go down the basement and take it, you know, whatever, you know, because we're at that point where it's like, we don't want any more, you know. But I think the biggest privilege, though, was when we were sitting at dinner on Sunday, and we had three of the four there, and we had a discussion about spiritual truth. And one of my sons said, I'm reading through the Bible. He said, but you know, I don't, you know, he had questions about this and that. And it was just really neat to get into the truth of God's word. And Dave and I pray daily for our four kids, for their lives, for the impact of their lives, and that God will have an impact on their lives, and the Holy Spirit will deal with, you know, them in areas, just like we pray for ourselves. But it was just, it was almost like, wow, we're sitting here talking about this stuff, and you're telling us that you're reading the Bible, and that you're digging, and you're wanting to know, and there were questions about different things, and I guess it was just like, God, you're listening to our prayers, you're listening, and it was just such a blessing, I guess, you know, they have a ways to go. And yet, it was just a reminder that we can't stop praying for these kids, for those that are close to us, or for family members, for friends near us. We can't stop praying.
Well, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord. You've heard these requests, Lord, that people need healing. Lord, people need a spiritual touch from you. God, we need to be praying for our friends and family and those we come in contact with all the things happening in the world and society. Father, we need you because you are the answer to all these things. Whatever the question is, you're the answer. Pray to take away the fears of those that are facing surgery, those that are facing difficult decisions. Lord, we just pray for doctors and surgeons, Lord, that are there to help. But we know you're the great physician in all these things, and we ask for your spiritual touch to be in all these things that have been talked about and witnessed to and shared this morning. Thank you for the praises, Lord, of healing and health is happening as well for what you're doing, Lord. And Help us to concentrate on you as we work on our relationship with you, our relationship with others. Lord, the things we should and shouldn't be doing, that you'll keep us in touch with where we should be. Help us as a body, Lord, to grow together. Help us to reach out into our community to invite people personally. And Lord, help us to make sure our relationship with you is our priority. So bless us this morning, we ask, with your word and the music. In your name, amen.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry I forget that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just wanna sit here at your feet. Caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Oh, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything.
Okay, you can all look at your watches now. Look at the clock. And then don't look at them again, okay? Because it's quarter after, and you're going to try to make me go 15 minutes on this. You'd be like, we didn't finish at 11:30. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we may not, so don't be disappointed, okay? One woman said her young grandson called the other day to wish her happy birthday, and he asked, Grandma, how old are you? She said, I'm 62. And the phone was quiet for a moment, and then he said, did you start at 1? After putting her grandchildren to bed, a grandmother changed into a robe and put on a night mask, proceeded to relax for a few minutes, and as she heard the children getting more and more rambunctious, her patience grew thin. Finally, she threw a towel around her head, stormed into the room, put him back into bed with stern warning. She left the room. She heard the 3-year-old say in a trembling voice, "Who was that?" You'll see the slide in a minute when they get it on there. But when my grandson asked me how old I was, teasingly I replied, "I'm not sure." He said, "Look in your underwear, Grandpa. Mine says I'm 4 to 6. Well, you may have heard this one before, but I'm going to share this one again because I like this illustration. An older couple went to a restaurant and ordered one hamburger, one French fry, or one order of fries, and one drink. The old man unwrapped the plain hamburger and carefully cut it in half, and he placed one half in front of his wife, half the fries, he counted them out, placed them in a pile, one in front of his wife and one in front of him. He took a sip of his drink, and his wife took a sip, and then he set the cup between them. As he began to eat a few bites of his hamburger, the people around him kept looking and whispering. You could tell they were thinking, that poor old couple can't even afford enough for one complete meal for each. The man began to eat his fries. A young man came to the table, and he politely offered to buy another meal for the couple. The old man said they were fine. They're used to sharing everything. The surrounding people noticed the old lady didn't eat a bite. She sat there watching her husband and occasionally took sips of the drink. Again, a young man came over and begged them to buy another meal. This time, the woman said, "No, thank you. We're used to sharing everything." The old man finished and wiped his face with his napkin. The young man came again to the older lady and said, "You haven't had a bite to eat yet. What are you waiting for?" She said, "The teeth." Well. Kind of makes you hungry, doesn't it, this morning? How many of you remember Etch-a-Sketch? Any of you have those Etch-a-Sketches? You used to be able to draw in there and do all kinds of things. I had a friend that actually worked for the company, and he drew all kinds of designs, scenery, and things that they kept. So they would dump out the sand or whatever's in there and then preserve it and hung it up. So he worked for that company. But the neat thing was about that, it didn't take batteries. Nothing flashy. It just was the knob and the whatever kind of sand is in there. And if you did something wrong, you could shake it up and start over. Wouldn't it be nice if life was like an Etch-a-Sketch? We messed up a part, we could just shake it up and start over again, free of mistakes and hurts and all those things. But we know life doesn't work that way, does it? We go through life and we have memories and we have issues and we have all kinds of things. We make choices and decisions that affect us now and then maybe affect us in the future. How many high school football stars do you see, you know, bent over, have issues, or their neck hurts or their back hurts or whatever, because they weren't smart enough to know that what was going to happen to them later on. They thought, "Oh, I'll be fine, never going to hurt me," and you see the effects later on, right, those things that happen to us. But we only have so much time to get it right, to do things right. In Job 15:14, it says, "A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." So why do we think as people we can exceed limits? We can make our life last longer. We can make our looks last longer, right? We think we can do all this stuff, but yet it's not really up to us, is it? God's given us a certain amount of time that we have, so many days on the earth. The question we should be asking is, what am I doing with the days that I'm here? How am I spending those days? Am I mad all the time? Am I trying to do this something all the time to get ahead? Are all my ducks in a row? Are all my relationships right? Have I done what I can to make things right on my end? Am I right with God? Am I going to heaven when I die? If not, why not? How many times are people saying at funerals that they regret something? They went too soon. The last thing I said to them was, "I wish I would have said, I wonder if." It's hard to live a life like that, isn't it? You can't change those things. Things happen. You do the best you can, as long as you can. Think about raising your kids. Anybody ever do any dumb things with their kids? And you think, "Man, I probably shouldn't have done that." Or your kids will tell you, "Remember when you did that?" You're like, "No." "Well, you did, and I remember it." But you know, you do the best you can do with what you know, don't you? You only have so much time, and then they're grown up. One day you're changing their diapers, and the next day they're changing yours. So, just be ready for it. We always ask the question, now, when's the Lord going to return? It seems close. We don't know when it's going to be. Mark 24, 36 through 44 says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Just like today, it's going to be a normal day. We're going to be doing normal things when he comes back. We need to make sure we're ready for that to happen. He said, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two will be grinding with a handmill and one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and he would not have let the house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you don't expect. So if you know somebody's coming, you get everything ready, don't you? Make sure your house is clean, you know, the carpet's swept, the dishes are put away, and everything else. But if somebody just knocks on your door in the middle of the day, you're like, oh no, they're here. Hide that, you know, right? Those. Oh, you can't come in today, really? Let's go in the backyard, right? One of those kind of things. He says, be ready for God to come, the Lord to come, anytime. He's talking about spiritually ready, isn't he? He's talking about our hearts, condition that we're in. He doesn't care about our house. He doesn't care about what your car looks like or those kind of things or your lawn's mowed. He cares about what condition your heart is in. Are you holding grudges? Are you bitter? Right? Are you apathetic? Have you fallen away? That's what he's talking about. He's going to come when we least expect it. But there are things we should be doing, and yet we procrastinate or we don't do them at all. There's things we can do to make our relationships right, but we don't do them. We think we have all the time in the world, and then a health concern comes up, and that person's not there anymore. We say, man, I wish I would have done that. Become so busy with good things that we don't worry about the better things or the best things we should be doing, like the phone calls we should be making to people that we haven't seen, right? Or the letters we should have written, or whatever it may be, those kind of things. So there are things we can do to make our health right. We can make our schools right, our country right, our churches right. There's a time to do what's right, and that time is now. Oh, I'll do it later. How frustrated do you get with your kids when you say, clean up your room. I'll do it later. You come back and it's not done. Do this. I'll do it later. Right? Or your spouse. Take out the garbage. Yeah, I'll do it later. Well, it's been there for like a week and there's little maggots crawling out now. Could you take out the garbage? Hopefully it doesn't go that far. But you get the idea, right? When you say, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. God wants us to do it now. James 4:17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's a sin. If you know what God wants you to do and you fail to do it, it's a sin. So many things going on in the world right now. We have relationships that are not being done right. We have people trapped by addictions and drugs and pornography and food or whatever the addiction can be. Right? It can be addiction. It can be a drug addiction. It can be a food addiction. Right? It can be a sweets addiction. It can be a horrible music addiction. I mean, there's all kinds of addictions you can have that you're just stuck to, that you feel like you can't get out. We have people in debt that keep going deeper. Some because they can't help it, and some because they just keep going, right? They just don't stop. We have those who say they're Christians, and yet they don't serve the Lord, they don't pray, and they don't support his work. But if you ask them, if you're a Christian, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, how are you serving God? Well, I'm really not right now. Well, what about the Bible? Well, I believe it, I just don't read it. What about prayer? Well, I use that when I'm in trouble. Well, how would that work with your spouse or friend? No, I don't ever talk to him. I don't see him. But when I need him, I'll just let him know. That doesn't work very well, does it? We know the right things to do. The Bible gives us guidelines in our relationships, our speech, our conduct, daily living, and sometimes we refuse to do them even though we know they're right. Why do we refuse to do them? I don't know. We can't say we don't know. Sometimes we just don't. Bible calls it a sin, knowing what's right to do and not doing it. We give all kinds of excuses and fool ourselves, but you can't fool God, can you? When you stand before him that day and say, why didn't you do this? You can't say, well, I had something else more important. I forgot. Right? Because he'll remind us a lot of times. We need to know this. There's going to come a time when it's too late to get things right with that person or situation or whatever it may be. Matthew 24 says, we don't know when the Lord's going to come again, but we need to be ready. We may not have the time, we think, to make things right. Maybe one time you tried to make things right and you failed and you were discouraged and you said, well, I'm just done. I can't do it. Sometimes it takes more than one time, doesn't it? You need to keep at it. You need to keep focused. You need to keep moving in that direction and try and do it a little bit at a time, right? Just like pizza. You ever eat a whole pizza? How do you do it? One bite at a time, right? One bite at a time. That's like life. You do things one piece at a time, one bit at a time. You can't do the whole thing. You couldn't fit the whole pizza in your mouth, could you? But sometimes we take things on so big we can't do them all, and we get frustrated because it doesn't work. We do one little thing at a time until we get it right. Start small, work your way up. Bad habits take a long time to form, and changing them may take even longer. Question is, do you want to change? Do you want to make it right? If you do, there needs to be discipline, determination, and prayer. You may even want to get an accountability partner. Somebody to ask you, did you do this today? Did you read your Bible today? Did you pray? Whatever it may be. Not always an enjoyable thing, though, to be accountable to somebody. When they say, did you do this? Yes, I did that. Well, you told me to ask you. But they're also supposed to encourage you and spur you on, say, well, maybe you messed up, but you know, you'll be okay. You can still do this. You'll get through this. Doing things just to do them is not a good idea. You need to do the right things for the right reasons at the right time. Right things for the right reasons at the right time. We're going to look at somebody who did just that. He did the right thing for the right reason at the right time. He made the right things the way they should be. And that's Nehemiah. Think about Nehemiah's story. You can look at his story in a number of different ways. But he heard the news that those living in the land of Judah were in great distress. The wall was broken down and the city was lying in ruins. And it touched his heart, didn't it? Something's wrong. This is not the way it should be. When he heard his people were in danger, he wanted to leave his job as cupbearer to the king and rebuild the walls for his people who were in danger and living in exile. His heart was broken. He asked God for an opportunity to make things right. He first talks to God, doesn't he? Confesses that his people have messed up, that they've sinned. But then he reminds God of everything that he has already done for them. And he asks God to give him favor with the king. So then Nehemiah gets a chance. And he tells the king what's happening and why it matters to him, what the king can do. And the king grants him his request to rebuild the walls, gives him supplies, permissions to get the job done, because Nehemiah wants to make it right, doesn't he? And he knows he has to do it now. His people are in danger. So because of his commitment, the walls are rebuilt. I think it was, 52 days, something like that. The exiles returned to a secured city. People recommitted themselves to the Lord. It all started because his heart was broken. And he knew things weren't right, and he wanted to do something about it. We look around a lot of times and see things aren't right, don't we? Sometimes you don't do anything about it. No, that's not right. That shouldn't be happening. Somebody else will take care of that. Maybe it's us that are supposed to take care of it. But Nehemiah's prayer and requests were bold, and God blessed his boldness. And he was the witness to surrounding nations. But it was God's strength that helped him to make things right the way they should be. He couldn't have done it on his own, but the Lord directed him. And then if you look at Esther, Esther saw things that weren't right because Haman wanted to have her people killed. Remember that story? If you don't, look it up. She was in a position to do something about it, or she could ignore it and suffer the consequences. She could have ignored it, but her people would have been killed, maybe her family. Or she could have taken a chance and said, this is the right thing to do, is go to the king. I can make my request made known to the king, so I have to go there. Even if it endangers my life, I need to do the right thing, because it's more than just me. It's about a whole nation. So she goes to the king, gives him her plan. She didn't just barge in and say, "King, you need to do this," right? She brought him food, put on a couple banquets, made a request known. The king saw what was happening. By that time, he already made a decree that her people were going to be killed. But he said, "I'll allow them to defend themselves." Remember that part? And that saved her people and saved her nation. And Haman was put to death. But Esther herself was a part of making things right, wasn't she? She got a chance to make things right. She's in the Word. We can read about it, what she did. There's many stories in there. I'm just going to talk about one more real quickly. Moses was one that God made to use things right, wasn't he? A little baby that was put in a little basket and floated down the river. Brought up in Pharaoh's house, had everything he could ever want. But he knew he wasn't where he should be. Remember, he killed the guy and ran away and all that stuff happened. The Israelites were slaves to Pharaoh. But God used Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh and secure their release through a number of plagues. People were set free, and then Pharaoh decided, "I'm going to kill him." So he just ran after him with his army and everything else, and God protected him with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Then they got to the Red Sea, and it was parted, right? Charlton Heston. You know that famous scene with Charlton Heston? People that are older, younger, people are like, "I don't know who Charlton Heston is." Anyway, he parts the Red Sea. The people go through on dry land. Pharaoh tries to follow, and he's demolished, right? Destroyed. But Moses was there to make things right, to bring God's people to safety. Even though they still wander around, do all kinds of things that weren't right, but eventually they come back to the Lord. Sometimes they wander off, they come back, wander off, come back. But Moses was part of making things right. What are some things you can make right today? Think about your life. Think about where you're at. Think about your position, your situations. Maybe your relationship with somebody is suffering and you don't know what to do. But you need to fight for your relationships to keep them healthy. Pray about it, talk to God, seek help. We need to make sure our relationships are right now. It's not something you can be lax on. Healthy relationships are for our benefit, our children's benefit, our family's benefits, our neighbor's benefits, right? Everybody benefits from a healthy relationship. It's a good witness. We see marriages failing left and right, don't we? And what percentage of those now today are Christian marriages that are failing left and right? That doesn't mean that things are always going to work out the best, but it means as far as possible, you try to make things work out, right? Try to do what you can do. Nobody wants to suffer in a bad relationship, so ask the Lord for help. Maybe you're caught in some kind of addiction and you feel something is controlling you and you can't get free. It's a horrible thing, isn't it, when you think somebody's controlling you or something and you can't get free of it. So what do? You start by asking the Lord for help. So I'm not naive enough to think that getting free of addictions is an easy thing. It's a hard process, isn't it? It's a hard road. It's painful. It may not be quick, but it's worthwhile in the end. If we feel dependent on something else, then we need to ask the Lord to set us free. We always say alcohol, drugs, pornography, but I mentioned some other ones, right? What about food? What about music? What about videos? What about Twitter, Facebook? What? Those things? Yeah, they can be addictions, can't they? What about TV? All those things can be addictions that we don't think about. We think, about the bad ones. They can all be bad. No matter what it is, we tend to put them in categories, but addictions are addictions if they're affecting us and hurting us. Maybe it's time to get things right. And if you can't do it yourself, then get help. Sometimes you try to, keep them quiet. Nobody knows I have this. But it starts affecting other people as well. Maybe you have a friend or family member you haven't talked to in years because of an argument or an offense that you need to make right. Some kids haven't talked to their parents for 10 or 15 years because of something that happened. What kind of life is that to live? I know somebody that has 4 kids. Doesn't talk to any of their kids. The kids won't talk to the dad because of something that happened when they were growing up. I can't imagine the pain that is if my kids never talk to me. You know, you want to talk to your kids, share with them, do life together, but that's not happening for them. Maybe something hurt you deeply and the person who did it never asked for forgiveness. So maybe you're wanting healing from the past. Maybe you can call or text so you can get closure. Does that mean you're going to forget the pain? No. It means you can let it go and move on, knowing that it wasn't your fault, you did whatever you could. Psalm 39 says, our life is like a breath, which means it's not very long, is it? Think a breath's pretty long? Go like this. See how long you can hold that breath. Pretty short. If you're an underwater diver person, you might get 3 to 5 minutes, but everybody else, you know, we got a few seconds. So if your life is like a breath, it's not very long. What's more terrible than not saying something to someone you intended to, and then they walk away or move away or pass away? One day they're there, then they're gone. You meant to visit, you meant to call, you meant to go out to eat with them, but you were too busy, and now it's not going to happen. That's not supposed to make you feel guilty. That's to make you have a sense of urgency. That things are important. Okay, I messed up in the past. I don't have to mess up in the future. Right? Maybe I didn't do that, but I'm going to make it a priority to do it now. Well, I have regrets, but it doesn't have to continue. Make a list of those you want to contact that maybe you haven't seen for years. And then start at the top and work your way down. Right? Contacting those people. You can't change the past, but you can make a difference for today. Tell them you care for them, you love them, you miss them. Even if they don't contact you, we talked about that the other day, my wife and I, about, you know, this person's kids never call them except when they want something. Right? Well, maybe you need to call them anyway because you just want to talk to them. Whether they contact you or not, maybe you can contact them. Finally, here's something we need to get right, all of us. Get it right, keep it right, make it right. That's our relationship with the Lord. We all need to make it right. We need to be in His Word. And I don't know about you, but I always say to myself, man, I wish I would have done that. Boy, I should have read that. I should have been more in this. I should have memorized that. It's okay to say I should have, would have, could have. But you should be saying, I'm going to. I will. Make a determination. Some people set high expectations and fail, and then they stop trying. They say, I'm going to read a chapter a day. Then they go for a while, and then they don't read the chapter, and then they go another day, don't read the chapter, and like, well, I guess I'm just not going to be able to do that. What if you started at, I'm going to read a verse a day? You can do that, right? Read a verse a day. Maybe I'm going to read the same verse every day for a week. Then I'm going to read another one. You have success. Success breeds success, doesn't it? You do that, you think, well, I could do a little more. Ask God to give you a hunger and a desire to develop an appetite for His Word. Same goes with prayer. Start small. Pray for a few things. Then you end up praying for more, then you pray for more, then you pray for more. If you have nothing to pray for, take your bulletin and look at the back of that. Probably got 25, 30 people in there. You can start with that. You can start with family members, start with friends, start with events, all kinds of things. Set a time aside. Or do it all day long, or do it at night, do it in the morning, whatever it may be, whatever's your thing. If you see something happen, then pray for it then. I do a lot of my praying at night before I go to bed. I think of all these things that I pray for different people. You may do it in the morning. Some people get up in the morning and spend hours or whatever in the morning. But you're going to need to make an appointment with God, like everything else. Make an appointment with the doctor, don't you? And then you go. About making an appointment with God. This is my appointment with God now. From this to this is my appointment. Then you're more likely to keep it. If you don't plan it, something else will take its place. Right? If you don't make an appointment, something else will take its place. We need to be purposeful in our prayers. I don't just mean thank you for the food, yubba dub dub, thanks for the grub, it met yay God, that kind of prayer that the youth always do or did. Pray for hope, forgiveness, health, finances, strength. Boldness, inviting people to church. Most people come to church because they're invited personally, not because we have awesome programs and great signs and all those things. They come because somebody asked them to come, right? Most people become saved because somebody shared the plan of salvation. There are times when God speaks to them. There's other times when people are used. Some of you have been here for a long time, but you feel like you don't know everybody. And you don't. Because you haven't got up and talked to somebody. You haven't got up and said, hey, my name is, I'll use my wife. My name's Chris, and I don't think I've met you before. What's your name? Right? Oh, my name's Ernie. Ernie's like, I've been here for a long time. I don't know everybody. Okay, so you get up and you walk over to that person. Usually when church is done, it's like the mice go out of the thing. Everybody's gone. What if you waited 5 minutes and met somebody that you don't know? Right? That goes for new people too. You don't know some people. Maybe you can say, I don't know you. Then you get to know people and become more like a family when you get to know who people are. They expect me to know everybody. I know pretty much everybody. But some of you don't even know the person sitting next to you. You have to make the effort, right? I know, Ray, you don't know Carol, but I'll tell you who she is later, okay? You have to make the effort. And why not do it today? This church is small enough. We don't have 500 people. There's no reason you shouldn't know who goes here. If you don't know, get the bulletin out and start looking at pictures, right? If you don't recognize them today from that picture, it may have been a few years ago from that picture, but you still should know who they are. So get to know people that are here. Take the time to talk to them. Make that right today. God knows we can do this. He wants to work together, fulfill His great commission. He wants us to make things right. We know in a short time, we're going to have a warehouse, a storehouse, a field of people that are going to be near us. Right next to us is going to be, I don't know how many condos or whatever, they're going to be rentals next door in that property where you see the grass growing by the disc golf course. That's annexed into the township as far as I know, and that's going to be all kinds of houses that are going to be in there. Down at the corner, 142 and 40, 200 houses and living units are going to be in that place. So the people are coming to us, right? We have no excuse when the neighborhoods come in not to go and invite people to come to church. And I'd love them to come here, but if they go somewhere else, as long as they're going somewhere, that's the important thing. As long as they know Christ, that's the important thing. We're not here just to try to grab all the people we can grab. If they want to come, fine. That'd be good for us, right? There's going to be enough people that there'll be people for everybody. We just want to make sure everybody's going somewhere and knows the Lord. But we don't have any excuse when that comes in, we have no excuse for not ministering to people that are going to be right next door. How many of you know your neighbors? 1, 2, 3. Okay, about half the people. Most time our neighbors come home and drive in the garage and shut the door. So the only time we see them is if we're snow blowing and they come out and say, thanks for snow blowing my driveway. Right? Or if Al's out there picking out dandelions and mowing grass for people, which he does. He does a lot of stuff. And he acts like he's Mr. Tough Guy. He's not. He's a little mushy marshmallow guy if you talk to him. He is St. Bernard, though. I did dedicate him to St. Bernard. But doing things for your neighbors, just helping them out, things you can do to help them out, makes a difference. I had people that I did snow for in the summer. That worked out very well. I did snow in the winter. And they came to the summer and said to me, thanks for cleaning off my driveway, because they couldn't do it. But that was, you know, months later. So they recognized things you do, and I didn't go to their door and said, that's $25, lady. I was doing my driveway, so I just did theirs. Because somebody gave me a 5-horsepower free snowblower that they were getting rid of. They said, I don't want this. I said, I'll take it. So I thought, well, if I got this machine, why can't I just go around a few more places and help people that can't do it? Now, we do those kind of things, and it makes things right, doesn't it, for those people that can't do things, if we can. I won't be able to do it forever, but as long as I can do things, I'm going to keep doing things. And that's the way we should be. If you can't get up anymore, then you get down on your knees and you pray, right? So the Lord's bringing the lost to us, and it's time for us to do the right thing. We need to start praying and planning for that to happen. Start praying now. God, thank you for those people that are going to be coming. Thank you for those houses that are going to come. Thank you for the opportunity you're going to provide for us. Help us know what we should do, how we can do it. So we need to ask ourselves, will we determine to make things right? Will we ask God for help? Do we want things better? Marriage, relationships, life free from addictions, dedicated to Christ? Well, we know it can start today. So I'm just going to ask if everybody will stand. So let's stand. And if you want prayer this morning, you can either raise your hand if you want to raise your hand, or if you want to be prayed for, you can come forward. It's up to you. We're just going to take a few minutes and just wait on the Lord. You ask Him what He wants for you. Do you need prayer personally this morning, or do you just want prayer with raising your hand? So if you just want to raise your hand, you can raise your hand. Okay. If anybody wants to come, you can come. That's up to you.